Hi, friends. Welcome to the Overwhelmed to Intentional podcast. My name is Kristen, and I am your host. I'm a certified life coach helping overwhelmed millennial women live a simpler, more intentional life. It is good to be back. I have missed you all. I have missed being on the podcast and chatting with you every week, or chatting to you, I guess, but I've certainly missed it. I have missed providing valuable content to you weekly. And I have said for quite some time over the last 5 months that I'll get back to it. I'm going to get back to the podcast. Well, I said it to a client on a coaching call tonight, the night that I'm recording this. And I thought, I don't want to hear myself say that again. I need to take the action. It's that simple. So I watched myself say it again. And I thought, I don't like that I'm saying it and not doing something about it. So instead, I'm going to record an episode. Might be imperfect. I might ramble. I'm just going to give you some life updates and a quick tip to help you. And you know what? It's going to be good enough. That is where we are. I have missed being here, so I decided that it was worth it to get behind the mic, record something, put it out there, and connect with you all again. For those of you that are newer, I have noticed, you know, lots of you are still listening to the podcast, maybe listening to older episodes that you've heard before, or maybe you're new and you're listening to those for the first time. I am glad that you're here, and I am thankful that you are listening, that you are joining my email list, that you are reaching out to me. I am really delighted to hear from you, so continue doing that. I hope that you will continue finding value in what I have shared so far. And I am here to share more new information with you from my experience. For those of you that are new, you might not know this. You might know from listening to, I think, the last episode that I shared. But I accepted a new position in January of this year. And I have been enthralled in that. It is intense, and I am working quite a bit in this new role and kind of getting familiar with being in this role while also continuing to coach the clients that I had previously agreed to coach for X amount of time, and coach in the program that I was previously coaching in, doing that on the fringes of my day as well. And so it has been a pretty full couple months. And I have found myself thinking on so many occasions that I am very grateful to have done the work on all of this overwhelm stuff. Without it, I would be a puddle on the floor. I would not still be standing. However, because I have done a lot of this work, well, all of it, not a lot, all of it, over and over and over again, and I use these tools every single day, I can guarantee that they work. They have definitely been how I have managed to keep going and to take action faster and to decide things faster. It is because I have been applying all this to my own life, because the last 5 months I have had more happening personally and professionally than maybe ever before. So I have definitely been utilizing everything that I teach, and I can say that it most certainly works. To give you a little bit about what has been happening, I have been in this new role, still coaching the clients that I have. I have wrapped up with many of them. I am wrapping up with the ones left now. I have learned a ton about being a leader, about managing employees, about making decisions and owning my role at work. I have taken action much faster than ever before. It has been eye-opening to see that I'm capable of more than I thought. I would certainly discount, prior to this, I would discount how much I thought I could do. I didn't think that I could take as much action do things as quickly, decide as quickly, own decisions as much. I didn't give myself as much credit for that. But now in this new role, I've kind of had to. That's sort of the job. So I've stepped up in ways and seen myself be more capable of what I thought was possible. That has been cool to see. That is something I'm really, really proud of. I have continued to coach my clients and help them get amazing results. That's also been so fulfilling to still have that connection and still be coaching. It is, I think, another thing that I've learned in this new season of life is that it is truly fulfilling on a soul level. Coaching for me is it. There is nothing else that gives me that same feeling. There is a powerful feeling that I get in my job because I see how, I guess really like how much I am capable of and how valuable my insight is. I think that's been interesting to observe. But when I'm coaching, it's so powerful to have that connection with other people getting to do amazing things in their lives. There's something about that that's really even more fulfilling for me. It's cool to see what I'm capable of. For me personally, it's cooler to help other people be capable of the things that they want to be capable of. It's just the most fulfilling gig. And I'm very grateful to still have that. And I get to do some of that in my role, but coaching for me is just it's just the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest thing ever. So getting back to this podcast is a way for me to keep staying connected to this life-changing work. And I love it now more than ever. So that's been happening professionally. I have had a lot of personal things happen over the last 5 months. For those of you, well, I guess I should stick to the professional. One more thing. For those of you that may remember, I mentioned back in December that I was going to take a year off of Instagram. I am in that year. I'm still doing that. I am now 5 months into that. I love it. I don't miss Instagram at all. I miss checking in on a few things, but that's it. I genuinely do not miss it as much as I thought I would. I don't feel like I'm missing out on what's happening in the world. I don't think that I need it for my business the way that I used to think. I have had so many people join my email list and reach out to me about coaching and listen to the podcast that I realize, oh, you know, I think without it, I'm still okay. So that has been a great experiment. I don't know if I will go back on Instagram. I'm not sure that I will. I'm gonna see, as the year continues to unfold. But as of now, I have loved it. I've really, really loved it. So that's that. Personally, I have experienced some death in my family, and my grandfather passed away. My angel dog of 12 years, I've had her for 12 years. I think that she was 15. She passed away as well. That has been very difficult. And also, I knew that it would probably happen this year. I knew with the way she had been declining, she was showing a lot of signs. I knew that it was coming, but it is still just the worst because I had that dog through so much life. I mean, I got her when I was in college and had her for 12 years. So she was with me through many moves, through many job changes, through, you know, many business ventures, through my marriage and my divorce, and just kind of figuring out life. I mean, you know, you figure out so much of life in that time frame, your 20s and early 30s. And she was with me through that. She was the constant in a lot of change. And I miss her. I really miss her. I have days where, man, I'm starting to get a little sad as I say this. Don't cry. I have days where I'm totally, you know, I've come to terms. I knew that this was the time. I knew that it was probably going to happen this year. And I was preparing myself over time. And I have moments where I just really hate that dogs can't live as long as we do. That she had to go before me. That I could not be with her forever. But I know that that is okay. That that is life. And, you know, that's the 50-50. That's another concept that you've heard me talk about here. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, life is 50-50. It is not going to be happy all the time. It's not going to be great all the time. It is both amazing and awful at the same time. That is okay. That's part of it. I don't want to feel happy that dogs don't live forever. I want to be really sad about that. And so I have just embraced it. I am so grateful for the amazing friends and family and clients and everyone who has shown me so much love and done really kind things like bring me flowers and coffee and food and little sweet cards and things like that. It has been very thoughtful because, you know, everybody in my life knows that Marley was with me through so much, and she's just been part of my life for a long time. So it is not the same to not have her, but it's also okay. I'm okay. I will be okay. She's with me in spirit, and I think of her all the time. I told someone that I heard what sounded like her sneeze a few days ago, and it was the craziest thing to think it sounded exactly like her little sneeze. So she's all around me, and I keep her little spirit with me close by. If you're a dog person, even if you're an animal person, if you have pets that you love so dearly, they truly are our family. We love them so much. So it's not the same without them, but it is okay. It will continue to be okay. So that is that. I have had really exciting things happen in my family. I've had two of my sisters get engaged. One of them graduated from medical school. I have spent a lot of time with family, just them visiting and doing fun things around Greenville, riding along the trail and going to wonderful restaurants and just doing fun things like that with family more so than I had in the past. I mean, there are things like that that I was not always taking advantage of in my own city, but over the last 6 months to a year, I would say I've been doing more of that. That has been fun. I have traveled for work a good bit, and at least once every other month, I guess. So that's been pretty cool to get to be in person with some of the people I work with. That's been a lot of fun. And I do plan to maybe change up where I'm living after the next couple months. I think that I might try somewhere new. I have lived in Greenville for seven or eight years. And it's an amazing place. I love it so much. I love the people here. All of my close friends are here. And I feel this sense of completion around living here for now. I think I'm ready to try somewhere new. So that will be unfolding over the next couple months. I will keep you updated as we see how that goes. I don't have a decision made about what is next. I think I might do some traveling, but I don't feel sure yet of where I want to go next. I just feel this timing of it's time for something new. I don't know where, but I think it'll come to me. I think I will know when it's time to know. So I'm experiencing some trust right now, just trusting that it will unfold and I will know. That is pretty much it, I think. I mean, it's not really. There are a million other things, but it is enough for now. So thank you for listening to that very long introduction of a life update. Now, let's talk about the thought, I have a lot to do. It seems factual. It seems so true to our brains. And you might even want to argue for it. You might even want to say, but let me show you how that is true. Look at this very long to-do list. I have this coming up, and I have this at work, and I have this at home, and we have this trip, and we have this, and we have that, and all of these things your brain will want to give me. Let's say we were having a conversation. Your brain will want to give me as evidence to prove that thought true. However, if you keep the thought, I have a lot to do, what feeling does that currently produce for you? Let's say you're thinking, I have a lot to do this week. How does that feel? How does it feel when I say it? I have a lot to do. If you feel stressed or overwhelmed and you act from that feeling, or maybe don't act, because often a feeling of overwhelm causes us to not take action, what will that create as a result? That's the thing I want you to consider. If you keep the thought, what will happen? If you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed, you might find that you don't sit down and write out your to-do list. You don't thoughtfully plan for how you want to tackle it. You don't get the help you need or assign things out or delegate or what have you. Instead, if you keep the thought, I have a lot to do, and you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed, maybe you go and do something that feels a little better. So you might scroll or do something that's not on the list or watch television or just walk away from everything entirely because it feels so stressful when you think that thought. And what that does is perpetuate the having a lot to do thought. It basically means you end up having more to do because you don't take care of doing the things that you are thinking of right now. And of course, when I talk through it like that, I'm sure you're thinking, oh, well, then keeping the thought will do me no good. Except there is something about it that your brain likes. I like to acknowledge that my brain likes to be a little dramatic. It likes to think about how much I have to do. There is something that feels good about it. It feels good to me about being, quote, busy, having a lot to do. In some way, it is kind of protective for me. So for you, maybe exploring what that is. Why is it that you think your particular brain likes to think about how much you have to do? How does it feel when you keep that thought, when you are that person? What does that mean about you? How does it make sense that that thought is in your brain and your brain offers it to you often? When we do this extra layer of exploring why our brain likes to offer us these particular thoughts, it helps us to learn more about ourselves, of course, and also it helps us to see that our brain has some reason for doing that, that it thinks that it's useful to offer us this thought, and it's not a problem that it does that. Of course, my brain likes to say, I have a lot to do, because there is something about that that feels secure in some way, or helps me to feel like I am valued or I am useful or things like that. I don't know what it'll be for you. I'm just offering up some things that are coming to mind, but think about why your brain might like to even offer the thought and how there is some purpose in it. So before we go changing thoughts around and just deciding to believe something new, we want to see there's something there. let's spend some time with it and see what's there. Now, let's look at the to-do list, the circumstance itself. We can acknowledge that that is there and that maybe it's true that you have 20 things on your list for the next 2 days. And if those are things that you want to complete by the end of this week, you want to have checked off, how do you want to feel in the process of checking that off? If it's not stressed and overwhelmed, how else could you feel as you are going through these tasks, as you are checking them off, taking the action? What else could you be experiencing in the process? Let's say, for the sake of this example, you felt at ease. You felt at ease as you were going through this task list, as you were getting things done. If you felt at ease, what would you be thinking in the process? What would you be thinking as you were checking things off and it felt easeful, effortless? Probably something like, this is no big deal. I can get this done. This is just a simple task. On to the next task. That was easy. What tends to happen is when we go to do the actual task, the task itself, the action itself is not that hard. The drama is in the before, is in the thinking and feeling overwhelmed and in over our heads and all of that. That is where it feels so big and heavy. But when we decide that it's easy, that it's not that big of a deal, that we can totally do it, and we start to take the action, on the other side, we say, oh, that wasn't so bad. Actually, that was easier than I thought. Notice that if that's the thought on the other side, you could have that thought now. You could decide now, this will be easier than I think. This will take no time. This I can check off today. I can totally do that now. Some of those thoughts that feel very effortless, that's what I want you to begin practicing as you are observing this list in front of you, as you are thinking about what you have to do. I want you to think about how it could be so simple and easy. It's not that big of a deal. If it was super easy to do that thing on the to-do list, to tackle your to-do list, if it was so simple and easy, how quickly would you begin approaching it? How simple could you go about planning for it? That's where we can make this simple shift to not let the to-do list control our emotions. Because of course it doesn't. It's a piece of paper or it's typed up on your computer or on your phone. It has no control over our emotions, but we tend to let it take over because we think that it is bigger than us. It is too much. We can't handle it. When really, you absolutely can. You absolutely can. It's a list of tasks, and those tasks are simple. That is the reframe that I think will help you going into the next couple days. And you will definitely put your own spin on it. So the way that I have worded it here might not be the way that you would word it, but take from this and decide how you want to think about having a lot to do, the things that you have to do. How could you think about that in a way that feels more easeful, more effortless, more simplified, and easier? So that is what I have for you this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you to those of you that have kindly asked me when I am coming back to the podcast because you've reminded me that this is a place that I love to be. And I love connecting with each of you, so I'm grateful that you're here. Thank you to those of you that are new for letting me spend half the time giving everyone an update. I appreciate you all so much. I will be back. We will be back at it on a consistent basis. It is good to be back. So I will continue this, I promise. Thanks for being here. Have a great week. Talk to you later.